It's my privilege to conclude our sermon series based on the book of Nehemiah. It has been about 2 or 3 months. So much has been said, but so much is still unsaid when you think about it, right? No sermon series can do justice to a book in the Bible because there's so much more that's in there, and I trust that as I've gone through this sermon series, you have been encouraged, and not only that, you've been encouraged as well to go deeper into the book of Nehemiah. But I want to entitle the last sermon on Nehemiah, I want to call it The Power of Celebration. And we have this sense of celebration, of course, in this chapter, chapter 12. And of course, celebration is important, especially Christian celebration. So I'm going to look at this whole idea of Christian celebration from the perspective or teaching from this chapter, the 12th chapter of the book of Nehemiah. So it's going to help you if you open your book or your iPad, whatever, to the book in chapter 12, verses 27 to 47, if you can just keep it open there. And the first thing I want to say is that celebration, Christian celebration, is filled with purpose. That's my first point. And of course, there is a great deal of celebration here because a purpose has been fulfilled. So verse 27, at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem. So if you are first time here in the service this morning, or you are not familiar with the book of Nehemiah, there's been a long process of restoration. A long process of the city being beautifully restored. What was in ruins is now a beautiful city again. And there's always a sadness to ruins. I'm sure you understand what I'm trying to say, right? When I look at the city in Syria, my heart aches. You know, this beautiful nation, much of the cities are now in ruins. We need to continue to pray for peace in Syria. All right? Human being. Even educated human beings have an amazing capacity to destroy each other, to destroy the beautiful world around us. But here, Jerusalem was again teeming with life. The Jews are back into it. The religion, the culture, the nationhood restored. It all began with the broken down walls and how they were rebuilt. Now they're up, the work is done, and now it is time to dedicate and celebrate. So Christian celebration flows from work that is done. Christian celebration is filled with a sense of purpose. Sometimes the world looks at celebration as non-work. And so we work, and then we celebrate on the weekday, and then we work again, right? So today is a day of celebration, of partying. There are people come to F1 not because of the cars. They just want a loud atmosphere and the party that goes on before and after, banging their heads away, right? And so there'll be a hangover, and often they'll be doing things they'll be regretting. But this is how the world celebrates, right, as non-work. In fact, I remember as a child, of course I grew up as a non-Christian, we worked very hard before Chinese New Year. And I mean really, really hard. As a young boy, I'll be making kueh bangkek, kueh kapek, fa sang peng. I don't know how you call it in English, you know. The thing with the, anyway, can't quite describe it. Pineapple cookie. You still have that today, pineapple tarts. And some of you think that work 1 or 2 days is hard work. It is every day, from morning to evening. And at the end of the evening, you smell like what you're making. You smell like kueh bangkek, you know. It's really, really hard work. But what always puzzled me is during Chinese New Year, it's all gambled away. For all the money that my mom will make, during Chinese New Year, everybody just gamble. It's all gamble away. So you work, and you celebrate, and you just gamble the money away, right? Yeah, it's very meaningless. In fact, as a non-Christian, that was what I was going through. I treasure those celebrations. I treasure the class parties. Chinese New Year, in a sense, was magical. But when I came to the Lord at the age of 13, I began to discover celebration in a new way. I can still recall, referring to those Friday afternoons, where faithfully, without fail, we were gathered in church after school, still in our uniforms, to worship and celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ, cycling, you know, in the sun to go to church. And then on Sunday, it is back to church again. And celebrations in church were the highlights of the week at the age of 30. My life changed when I came to the Lord Jesus. Better a day in the house of the Lord than a thousand days elsewhere. And I began to sing like I've never sung before. I discovered Christian music. Now, before that, I was deep into music, the music of the world. The reason why is because my father was an audiophile of sort. He's a very interesting character because my father, after all. A very interesting person. He sells fruits and veg for his living, but he's an audiophile. He's very deep into audio, big speakers in the house, and he was a photographer. He was the first royal member of the Royal Society, Photographer Society in Britain, the first Malaysian, you know. He won awards for his photography, but during daytime, he's selling fruits and veg. So I'm not sure how you can put two and two together, but that was my father. Right, but he was deep into music, and so I grew up listening to a lot of music of that era. In fact, my Mandarin was the best then. 今天不回家, you know, or Chow Chow Chow, Mary Sati, Oh Mary Hati. Those of you Indians will remember that popular Hindi song. Or think about this, you know, I was amazed by this song. I sing it to you. You know, I can't. There are things I can't do in the Nave that I can do here. All right, so you must pardon me. So let me sing to you. This is very funny. She was afraid to come out of the locker. She was as nervous as she could be. She was afraid to come out of the locker. She was afraid that somebody would see. 1, 2, 3, 4. Tell the people what she wore. It was an itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini that she wore for the first time today. There's some of you know the song. Don't you know the song? Right. It's an amazing song. Now, you may think it's a cheeky song, but actually it's a very innocent song of a little girl who was wearing a swimsuit for the first time. Right? So it was an itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini. Innocent compared to today's song. But there's not much more meaning to it, you can rather say, right? Or depressing song. I still remember feeling so melancholic as I stare sometimes out the window meaningfully and the song playing in the background. Yesterday, you know? Or why does the world go on turning? And so that was the world of music to me, right? But when I became a Christian, everything changed. I discovered there's a new purpose, there's a new reason to sing. There are new songs, How Great Thou Art, It Only Takes a Spark to Keep the Fire Burning, and so on and so forth. And my life changed. I begin to enjoy singing in a new way. Why? Because a work has been done. That's Christian celebration, right? Because work has been done. Christ has done His work on the cross. And my life was amazingly transformed at the age of 13. So coming to church was fun. No one need to teach me how to worship. I didn't go to any course on worship. I just begin to raise my hands. Of course, it was a Pentecostal church. You make a lot of noise when we worship. And it was truly wonderful. And that, to me, brothers and sisters, is Christian celebration. The world celebrates by forgetting their sorrows, right? So every weekend, Friday night especially, people go to clubs. And sometimes you go thinking, hey, I'll behave well. But very often, the behavior can turn very rowdy, especially after a few glasses of drinks. And so if some of you are into it, then want to encourage as a Christian, you know, there's a better way of celebrating, right? And the Bible is full of it. Sabbath is right at the heart of the Old Testament. In fact, you can never understand Jewish teaching or Judaism or the Jewish religion or the Old Testament religion without understanding Sabbath. Sabbath is right at the heart of it. Festivals, music, dance. We're anticipating the great wedding banquet. Again, Chinese understand that there's always linked to celebration. Of course, today, this morning, you're here in church. Even though it is F1, it's hard to get to cathedral. But yet you're here because you want to celebrate. We've just read for us Psalm 23. And the image of not just a shepherd, but a chef. Right? Even in the midst of the enemies, He spreads a table before us. Amen. So celebration is at the heart of the Christian faith. And Nehemiah and the Jews had good reasons to celebrate. And I think it was last weekend, 20, 30 over, cathedral members were in Phnom Penh, was it more? Yeah. celebrating the work of Project Care My Home. My wife was there, Sarah, my oldest daughter, was also there. I think they were very encouraged. This was a joy, their joy to see the fruits of the work. And that is a good reason to celebrate. And that is Christian celebration. We praise God for the wonderful work of Project Care My Home. In fact, those who were there, a few actually were not from Cathedral members, and they were saying, that's such a good missions work. So I always tell people, that's our gold standard of missions work, of what we all hope to be. There's a full range, not just bringing someone to church on Sunday, but there is also social service, there's discipleship going on, and so on and so forth. Wonderful work, right? I think there are about 8 Singaporeans, some of the Cathedral members, who are serving there full-time. We praise God for that. And that is, brothers and sisters, something that the Cathedral community can celebrate. Amen. So, celebration, Christian celebration is filled with purpose. And the Nehemiah and his community has a great reason to celebrate. Now, secondly, celebration involves preparation. So, preparation by planning. And so we can see, I don't have all the time read through the verses, you have just heard it read before you. You can see the dedication in planning and preparation. There's detailed attention given. Lists were made. Records were taken. The celebration was well organized. While spontaneity was welcome, and certainly there was spontaneous celebration as well. There was order and decorum as well. The musicians and choirs rehearsed. They practiced the movements. And long names were given. We thankful to the brother just now who read perfectly all those Jewish names, right? Names were given because names are important. Details are important to God. And I'm glad, who are these people? One day we meet them in heaven, right? But it's wonderful that the Bible lists down names like this because details are important to God. So I love this verse from Colossians 3, verse 23 to 24. It says this, whatever you do, work with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you receive inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that you are serving. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. And this has always been a theme for my ministry. It's a theme to motivate me because I don't always work with all my heart, especially this phrase, whatever you do. You know, in the ministry, there's a whole range of activities needed. Sometimes people think that pastors just preach and then during weekdays they play golf, right? But actually, the pastor's life can be very busy, and very often we do things that people don't see. Little things, and not just me, my staff, and in cathedral, even more I discovered there are a lot more things that you need to do where nobody sees, and sometimes nobody prays you for it. Only the Lord sees, right? An audience of one. And so we remind ourselves, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. I have a next photo here, and this is an amazing photo, right, to you. A photo of a group of ladies on CWF, Career Women's Fellowship, who took more than a year to put together 30 new kneelers. You've been to the Nave, you see those beautiful kneelers, the sewing and things like that, yeah? It's supposed to be kneeled on, eh? Sometimes they use as stepping footrest. That's bad, leaving your footprint on it. But amazed me, those 5 ladies, Christina, Pickling, Carol, Mary, and Lei Hong, huh? Easier to pronounce these names compared to the Bible ones. And they spent more than a year knitting together 30 kneelers. There you go. 5 beautiful ladies, right? And amazing. So detailed work, careful work, and I quote it as an example because there's so many others, the flowers, those who repair the pews, those who are rehearsing for worship. Everybody is doing all the little things, but doing it well, paying attention to detail so that the church can worship, right? So there's beauty, there's celebration of art. Sometimes you want to pause, look at the flower arrangements in the cathedral. It's quite amazing. So much art, beauty put into it because people are dedicated to worship God. And so we worship God through careful planning. Not only that, we also celebrate involves preparation, but preparation not just through planning, preparation through purification. We heard about it quite extensively in last Sunday's sermon where Grace Tan was sharing. And so you see in this verse here as well, verse 30, when the priests and Levites had purified themselves ceremonially, they purified the people, the guests and the wall. So they first cleaned themselves and then they purified the people and things as well, they bless the things that are being used for worship. Verse 45, talk about them performing the service of their God and the service of purification. And did also the singers, even the singers, the gatekeepers, to them, it's not just the ushers. To me, the gatekeepers are also the vergers in the church. According to the commands of David and his son Solomon. And so they observe tradition, which the people of God or the church has picked up to honor so that the worship of God is done with decorum, is done with purity. And this purity may be symbolic, involve rituals and ceremonies, but this symbolic meaning teaches the people of God ever since, and us as well, that God is holy and He's pure. And that we come to Him, we need also to be cleansed. That's the reason why we do the confession before the service starts. We recognize that He is holy. It's not so much to dwell on our unworthiness, but more to recognize His holiness. And so even if you have a, so to speak, holy week, you don't feel sinful at all to come to the presence of God, right? But because you're mindful of the holiness of God, you always confess before Him. Of course, when we confess, it's not just ourselves. We're still doing as a community. You're doing on behalf of your brother and sister as well. And so we do not set dirty dishes when we invite guests to our house, right? We likewise, in the Lord's table, we want it to be clean. The next slide, if you can put it up, that's great. The next slide, talking about purification. Now, who are this group of people? The next slide. I like my site profile. Yeah, you'll get them. There you go. You may wonder, who is this group of people? A mysterious bunch of people called the servers. Right, very few Anglican churches have servers, but the cathedral has one. They work quietly, very faithfully, but they keep the cathedral clean. Right, they enable us to enjoy Holy Communion. They make sure the vessels are clean, the right linens are laid out. Of course, they also do it with a group of vergers, and some of the vergers are also servers. So every year, we have an annual dedication. I think this happened about two Sundays ago at the evening, 5 p.m., evening service. And they remind us that the things of the Lord needs to be done with care. But of course, we not just clean ourselves outwardly, but in our hearts as well. Right? So we confess our sins because He's faithful and just forgive us. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. I love to read this verse, remind ourselves again from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 to 22. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold or silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes and some for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, if he cleanses himself from what is ignoble, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, prepared to do any good work. So flee, verse 22, from the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love and peace along those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Verse 22 is interesting. Flee the evil desires of youth. The evil desires of youth never leave a person. Even when he aged to 70 or 80, you can find the same. It is when the person become manhood or womanhood, right? There are things that you pick up, bad habits, bad desires that you struggle with for the rest of your life. And here, the Bible says, flee from them and call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So purification, I won't say too much because Grace has dwelt on it last Sunday. But thirdly, we celebrate not only is Christian celebration purpose-filled, not only does it need preparation to planning and purification, but Christian celebration involves participation. So verse 27, at the dedication of the wall, the Levites were sought out from where they live. And so they were called out all the rural areas to call back into service. It's time to take your robes out of the closet. It's time to get back to ministry again. It's time to lead the people in worship again. And so there's a reformation. There's a revival here. There's a revival of worship. Right? At 7 a.m. and 5 p.m., we've been looking at the subject of worship. whenever the church is revived, worship is revived. And there's a reformation of the ministry as well, as it did happen in England in the 16th century. Likewise, we also pray it will happen here. The Levites also are called into worship, rise up to the anointing. Not only that, there were so choirs, verse 40, talk about two, not just one, but two choirs. And the priests of Aaron too were called back into ministry, verse 43, the women and children also rejoice. So is everybody. And we were told that the sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard from far away. Amen. So there's great, there's a amount of wide participation from professionals as well as ordinary people. The retired Levites, the professionals joined the ministry, and the rest, everyone participated. So it's amazing to see, and especially since I came to the cathedral, it's always amazed me the diversity of people that come to the cathedral, race, culture, even nationalities. And we were amazed, I think 2 or 3 months ago, by another group of people who came, a group of creatures who came and visited the cathedral. Just a short video, the next one. The moon is gone. These are not otters. Oh, anyway. Oh. Okay. I've seen this video. Have you seen this video? Guess who come to church? Who came to church? They stop, huh? They stop. Deaconess Bessie showed the other video. So there's a video of them coming into the cathedral. It's quite amazing. That's just for some comic relief. But everyone trying to come to worship, that's great. And so how do we participate? We participate through singing and music making. Huh? So we were told, with the music of cymbals, harps and lyres. Cymbals, harps and lyres. Now, cymbals have actually been recovered from archaeological findings in Israel. So a modern version of cymbals are like the drums you heard this morning. Harps are sometimes called psaltery. From there you get the word psalms. A harp was an instrument, still is, instrument with strings of varying lengths. So a modern equivalent of that will be the piano. You can see especially in the grand piano, right? Varying lengths. And lyres was an instrument with strings of the same length, but of different diameters and tension. Much like a modern guitar. So it's amazing, drums, guitar, and piano. So music is powerful. Music is God's creation. It's all over the Old Testament. It's a universal experience. Music is, in fact, spiritual and moves us deep within, especially when used in public worship. But why music and singing? I once attended led a cell leader's training many years ago in St. George's Church. I think that's the only parish in the diocese where you start with cell training by saying, why sing? because Singaporeans, everybody sing. You don't need to tell people why sing. No? Singaporeans sing, Singapore. Peter Koh was asking me, why you sing so much? No, you're in Singapore, right? Yeah, Singapore. So, but that's the only church where we just go right to square one. Why worship? You start with why you sing, So why do you sing, right? Now, when you sing, everyone can participate. When one speaks, like what is happening now, all has to listen. In fact, when two persons speaks, it be chaotic, right? But everyone can sing together at the same time. There's something beautiful about participation, about movement together, something heavenly when people sing together. I love this quote by John Chrysostom, one of the early church fathers, how singing brings the church together. It's a lovely quote said more than 1,500 years ago, still relevant today. He said this, the psalm blended all voices together and caused one single harmonious chant to arise, young and old, rich and poor, women and men, slaves and free, all sang one single melody. All the inequalities of social life are here managed. Together, we make up a single choir in perfect equality of rights and expression whereby earth imitates heaven. Such is the noble character of the church, and still is, that we can sing when the church come together. What a wonderful statement. And so Ephesians 5 verse 19 says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. So we sing in our heart to the Lord, but we are actually speaking to one another when we sing. Have you thought about it? As St. Paul is saying, when you sing, you're not just singing to, you're singing to one another. You're encouraging, come, let us come to the house of the Lord. There's an earth thing here happening. We are participating, we are worshipping together. When you sing, you are speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual song. Amen. And so worship was restored here among the Jewish people. No longer did they have to say, as we heard in Psalm 137, how by the rivers of Babylon, they sat down and wept because remembered Zion. They have hung their harps, right? They cannot sing anymore, but here they can sing again. And likewise, the church, when she's revived, she can sing again. And so worship is so essential to the life of the church. So be on time. You know, sometimes people think that worship in a church is to prepare for sermon. It's kind of warm you up so that you hear the sermon. So sometimes you straddle. I know it's a challenge to park car, and especially come children, come all the way in. So you have to sometimes plan to come earlier. But don't miss the first note when the worship leads in the first note. That's important. That's not warm-up time. That's when that is worship. Right? So worship starts with the first word, the first note that is played. So participation through worship. But not only that, participation through giving. And so verses 44 to 47, we didn't get to read those verses in our scripture reading. But there was a lot of giving, a restoration of giving. And people were appointed to take care of the storerooms, and the giving was sometimes in kind, in grains and the fruits of the harvest. And so there was a restoration of giving. When there's worship, there's also giving. So we see here how, like singing, giving is something which everyone can do as well. Right? All of us can give. Amen? When I first started as a Christian, I gave 10 cents. So some of you are not working. 10 cents to me was big then. Now, of course, I give a little bit more than that. Right? Having blessed by the Lord. So giving is something all of us can participate. If you're a retiree, if you're a young boy, a young girl, or if you're a businessman, you may give more than that, more than just 10 cents. Giving is something all of us can participate, and it's such an essential part of worship. So giving, again, is not some mindless activity of funding the church, but it's an essential part of worship. And St. Paul called us, asked us, 2 Corinthians, to give with a joyful heart, right? A heart of joy, a heart of worship unto the Lord. I should pause here to say, to thank the cathedral for your strong giving. As you read this passage, it supports the Levites, the descendants of Aaron's, to make sure the singers and gatekeepers can do their work. So you have been giving so that the cathedral can continue the ministry, not just here or the city community, in the boys' brigade, girls' brigade, but in project in Kirkkamer, in Cambodia as well, in Thailand, Indonesia, and so on and so forth. We have been giving generously, and that's enabled the PCC, our outreach committee. We have an outreach fund manager that manages how giving is channeled outside to other organizations. We've been this year able to fulfill a commitment because you've been giving faithfully and generously. So I just want to thank the cathedral for that. Amen. So Christian celebration is purpose-filled, involves preparation through careful planning and purification, and Christian celebration is also about participation, especially through singing and giving, as we have learned in this passage. There are other points as well, which I don't have a short of time to be able to leave out. There's so much in this passage we can learn about Christian worship. But I want to conclude. St. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And as if the word always is not enough, he said, and again I say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. You may have a difficult week, but you come to church this morning, rejoice in the Lord. Don't rejoice because, you know, you strike lottery or you, something good happened this week, which is rare. But you rejoice in the Lord. And there's a needed place for celebration in our lives, a recovery of worship, recovery of enjoying God's presence. Psalm 16, verse 11, the right hands are pleasures forevermore. As someone has noted, the carefree spirit of joyous festivity is absent in contemporary society, especially in urban societies. Melancholy dominates the times. It can be said that depression is an epidemic in our stressful city of Singapore. In our Asian community, we don't talk about it so often because depression is a stigma. We use the word wood bridge. So we say it's a we will be looking at mental health awareness at some point. I think that's important because all of us will be affected at some point or another. We need to find ways, seek for help help as well. It's an epidemic. Our hearts are sometimes gripped by bouts of sadness, and we do not even know why. It could be the loss of community. Some of us are living very much alone. It could be the stressful pace of life in Singapore. And not just stressful pace, high expectation that's there all the time. And celebration is a powerful antidote to that. Christian celebration gives us perspective. We can laugh at ourselves. And I'm teaching the staff by example how important it is to laugh at ourselves. Right? Rare, but there was actually a whole blog post written on the Christmas service in the cathedral. Whole blog post. Everything was praised except one criticism of the accent of the celebrant. This is American writing. And guess who the celebrant was on the Christmas Eve service? You know, the staff was quiet. Someone sent the link to all the senior staff. The staff was very, very quiet. I broke the silence by saying, ha, 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 guess who the celebrant was, you know. And everybody just laughed at it. And it's good to be a laugh. I can walk away feeling so depressed. Everything was good about the Christmas except for the celebrant. Oh, Lord, help me in my accent. Oh, Lord, help me to speak like American or British English. That's not going to happen, right? I can laugh at myself as I did, you know. And I just feel the joy in my heart as I do that. So, in celebration, the high and mighty regain their balance, and the lowly regain their stature. We can stop trying to judge one another. You know, you can't laugh and celebrate at the same time, right? If you're always so tense. So sometimes as Christians, especially staff, always remind our staff, we're always judging all the time, so we need to be careful. It's a yoke that's very hard to bear. Only God is a true judge, right? So we need to remember that. We can stop wishing for what is not there and start thanking God for what is there. So I thank the Lord for cathedral. Now, of course, we are changing all the time. We want to grow and start a cafe and do this, do that. But I never fail to thank God for the many blessings on St. Andrew's Cathedral. Not just the place, not just facilities or the location, but the people. It's been more than a year now. I'm still discovering new people. As you can imagine, it's a big community. And it's been such an encouragement to hear the stories. And in our talking about the cathedral online, now we're reviving it. So, articles have been written in the Courier 5-6 years ago, now being posted online. So I start reading, you see. Oh, I know this face. Then read their story. It's amazing what God has done 4-5 years ago. So there are things you can discover, things you can praise God for as you discover the many treasures here in the cathedral. So much to thank God for. I want to end off by thanking God for one thing. I want to thank God for... I always thank God for my family, but I want to thank God for good health that He's given to me. Now, I've not had a flu. I've not taken medical leave this year. Now, being into September now. Right, but not say too quickly. Yeah? Because the last time I did, I actually felt very, very ill. Then I was Tigo, you know? That was when I was in Toronto. But anyway, I thank God for that. So I don't want to boast. I use it as a point of thanksgiving. In fact, I've been in a good health since I became vicar of St. James Church. That's how many years ago? 15 years ago. Now, before that, in my early years of ministry, always stressful, can't sleep, always fell sick, and so on and so forth. Right? But this last 15 years, something has changed. Maybe I've matured. maybe when I went to St. James Church, it brought the best of me in terms of pastoring. When I first went to St. James, it wasn't like what it is today. It was very, very small and so a lot of hurt and pain. And so maybe I've just learned to be a father. I'm not sure what it is, but the Lord has blessed me with good health. Hard to imagine in the past. Of course, I understand not all of us go through that. Some of us bear sometimes immense responsibility and that impinge upon your health. But I thank God, in spite, even today, my responsibilities have grown. It's very complicated. Cathedral is a crazy place to be a pastor. Only the Lord can pastor this church. You know, no human being can. But He gives grace. He gives peace. He has taught me how to sleep. He has taught me how not to worry and deal with anxieties, because that's so essential to your health. And joy is important. Laughing at yourself. I mean, you can cook whatever that you like to do. Go ahead and do it. Because life has been something that God has given to you in its totality and is meant to be celebrated in Christ. And I pray for you that this book of Nehemiah has been great. I'm glad we can end on this note to remind us when God has done a great work, we always end and always center on worship. So, Father, we thank you by your Spirit. You are here even as we worship you, even as we prepare together around the Lord's table. The finished work of Christ on the cross, we receive it with joy this morning. And Lord, we bring our sadness before you. Some of us perhaps have had a difficult week, we have fallen or sinned against you in some ways. This morning, we want to know the joy of being forgiven. And this morning, some of us carry burdens into the church. We want to know what it means to lay at the foot of the cross, to know that there's some burdens we are not meant to carry on our own. To come to you, all of us are heavy laden, and find rest in Jesus Christ. That some problems that we face will not go away. Just because you ask for it, you will remain with us for the years to come. But Lord, we want to learn what it means to go through life with a quiet joy in our hearts, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we thank you, Lord, for the book of Nehemiah. We thank you for the many lessons we have learned. Help us not to forget. Help us to return to it. Help us that the message of the book of Nehemiah continue to be a foundation for our Christian walk, for the life of this church and this congregation. We ask and we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.